dinosaur bones, and you see some of them embedded in the rock in the side of that. I don't deny that there were once dinosaurs on the earth. But you go through all of that, and you get a good thorough dose of evolution. And when you get down to the end of that thing, there's a little panel that says, what happened to the dinosaurs? And it says, no one really knows. I made a picture of that. No one really knows. There was a flood. And that flood accounts for a whole lot of the geological strata that we have in the earth now. You want to know what carves canyons? When you flood the whole earth and the water ascends up 15 cubits above the earth, above the tallest mountains, as the book of Genesis chapter 6 and 7 teaches us, as that water went down, it had to go somewhere. And I want to tell you, it cut everything it carried, everything with it as it went, began to go down. That's why we have all, many of the formations we have. It explains a lot of the geological strata that we have in the earth now that the scientists are prone to talk about and to posit millions and millions of years for this to have occurred by the evolutionary process and so forth. He said the scoffer, the skeptic, who mocks the Christian's faith about the Lord's coming has forgotten that there was a flood. And the Lord came in judgment on the earth in that time. And he said that same earth that was destroyed or perished in the flood is the same earth that is now preserved and reserved under fire against the day of judgment. God, the same one who created the earth in the first place and who brought the flood into the earth in the second place, in the third place is the same one that preserves and keeps it functioning in its current order. And then he said they've forgotten one other thing. He said God hasn't forgotten his promise. But he said one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Now that doesn't mean that every time you read the word day in the Bible, you're to understand that stands for 1,000 years. All he's saying here is that God's timeless. He is called the I Am. Remember, when God was reasoning with Moses and trying to persuade him to go down into Egypt and bring his people out, Moses said, Lord, who shall I say sent me? And there in Exodus 3 and verse 15, he said, you say, I am that I am has sent you, has sent me, rather. What does that mean? I am means that God's ever present. He's the eternal one. There never has been a time when God was not. And there never will be a time when he will not be. He is the ever-present one. I am. Jesus used that same expression to describe himself, claiming deity in it. In John 8:58, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And so Peter said the skeptic has forgotten the fact that the same God who made this world and the same God who destroyed it in the flood and life on the earth in that flood is a timeless being. God does not exist, or God does not measure time as we do. We live with a calendar and a clock, all of us do. We have to write down appointments. And Bobby and I do that. She has a calendar on her desk, and I have one on mine. And we have a lot of reservations with doctors on there to see at different times for different things. And you know how that goes. But we live with a calendar and the clock, all of us do. We have to be at a certain place at a certain time. We're bound by time, but God is not. What seems like a long time with us is just a blip in eternity with God. And what seems like a short time with God might be a long time with us. So we don't need to put God on a schedule. That's what he's saying here. God is not bound by it as we are. But in verse 9 he said, But God is not slack about his promise. The skeptic is just flat wrong when he says that this hope of the Lord coming back is a dream. It's a fantasy. No reason to believe that. No, he said God hasn't forgotten his promises. God keeps his promises. You know, when God promised Abraham that he would make a great nation out of him, he didn't have the heir that was necessary for that nation to be developed. And it took several hundred years for all of this to take place. And I tell you, when they came out of Egypt, the Bible says there were upwards of 600,000 men, and that didn't count the women and children. They were a nation of people. There were between 2 and 3 million of them now when you figured all of them into the mix. God kept his word. He kept his promises. When the prophets of the Old Testament time foretold 332 different things about Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom, all of which came to pass exactly as he said it would. Some of those prophecies are given in minute detail, and all of it came to pass. God keeps his word. God, through Isaiah, prophesied about the reign of Cyrus and called his name in the 44th and 45th chapters of Isaiah. Called his name 120 years before he was born. God does what he says he will do. So he said, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness. But he is the reason the world continues. Have you ever wondered why God lets the world keep on going? You see some of the things happening in the world now and you think, how could it get much worse? Did you ever have that sensation? I have a few times, I have to confess. I've wondered why in this world hasn't the patience of God run out with this earth? But Peter explains it. He said he hadn't forgotten. He's just long-suffering with us. Not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want you to be lost. He doesn't want your loved ones to be lost. He doesn't want your neighbors and people in the adjoining countries and across the sea. He doesn't want them to be lost. And the patience and long-suffering of God extends opportunities for the gospel to be preached and for souls to be saved.